on the slab soon enough.
Welcome, welcome to another episode of The Slab. Whoa. Tonight we're going to do a deep dissection of The Black Phone by Blumhouse Productions, starring Ethan Hawke.
Da-da-da-da. Deep and hard.
Oh, yes.
And my mortuary cast today is going to be Josh and Chris.
Thup.
Hola.
So, yeah, we're going to first start off by first impressions. I'll go first because I know everybody has a different impression. I personally did like the movie a lot because it's a very original story. Like, you haven't really heard of anything like that. Like, it's a breath of fresh air in that aspect.
It definitely was different than what they're putting out. I'm just glad it's not a remake.
We're all glad it's not a remake.
We're all glad it's not a remake.
Well, it's my turn.
Yeah, it's your turn. Okay. So, at first, you know, after I watched it, I guess it's taking more time to process it. And we do a talk through before the cast every show. So, I guess looking into it more and really, like, thinking about the storyline, I guess I like it a little bit more than when I actually watched it. And like DJ said, it was an original story. And sometimes people don't take to original stories because they've never seen the concept before, so it's kind of like you don't know how to take it.
It is a very difficult concept.
I mean,
that it has, like, not difficult in having to follow it, just the content.
Yeah, so like, the director of The Black Phone also directed, you know, like Sinister and Sinister 2, so that's the connection with Ethan Hawke. And like, I absolutely love these kid actors for their like physical acting, but a lot of the line deliverance seems really forced. And I mean really forced.
Mean,
like, they pound it to your head that they're in the fucking 70s.
Yeah, I mean, with the kids though, that can be pounded down to they're just kids.
Very true.
Yeah.
I mean, not all children actors are like amazing.
Yeah, but the whole entire tone of the movie was, it is the 70s. Like, that was a very driving force of that movie, which
she's gonna marry Potsy, and I'm gonna marry Danny Bonaducci, and bro, I seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's not better
like
than Enter
Josh
the Dragon.
Out,
like,
the
fuck.
Fucking Nike tracksuit.
Yeah.
With all the fucking cocaine.
Yeah, like, you know, the 70s. You just gotta say cocaine. Yeah. If you bring up the 70s without mentioning cocaine, then you have not made a movie.
Actually, the number one thing that should have given it away was, if you just look at the cover of Ethan Hawke and his get-up, the glasses.
Yeah.
That alone should just give it away.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, it's that kids were actually, like, they'd walk up to a black van, there's some guy popping out with a cape going, you want to see a magic trick? Nowadays,
just pulls out
are
a
like,
bunch of fucking balloons.
Yeah, it's like,
wow.
Like, back then, yeah, kids were like, fuck yeah, I want to see a magic trick. Today, people are just like, it's your penis, isn't it?
it's your penis, right? Is that the punchline, bub? I'm going to go.
Is that why your magician's hat's on your crotch and you ain't touching it right now?
Really?
Is that the rabbit in the hat?
Good trick, bro.
Really? You want to go fishing, but you forgot your fishing rods.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm trying to move my screen here. Okay,
what
we're good.
What are you doing?
We're good.
He's trying to see all of us so he can make eye contact.
Yeah, because I'm like,
oh, okay.
I had to move my screen down so I can, like, I can see Chris, but I can't see Josh.
That's why I moved from where Josh is sitting to where I am now for that very reason. I gave you the shitty seat. You're welcome.
For what?
So I could see DJ better.
Y'all are fighting to see me.
I'm just sitting here. I don't fight for attention. You know who Daddy is. I'm just fucking around.
Yeah, so did Finn's sister.
Damn.
Yes.
You know, that's something that...
I give high praises to that little girl. I'm sorry, Josh.
That's something we had to really bring up while watching it. When the dad was hitting the girl with the belt, I was like, you know, I honestly thought that was kind of normal.
Yeah, no.
Like everybody was so shocked. It's like, well, clearly you were not raised by people like that, and I was. So
yeah, no. I first time I saw, it, I was like, huh, that brings back memories.
Right, that's memories. Oh, right,
I
mean,
I should call my mom. But no,
you'll see, you got some explaining to do.
I mean, not to make light of abuse on a child at all, because it's wrong.
No,
but back in the 70s, you know how common it was that a kid was getting their ass whipped with a razor sharpening strap or a fucking big thick ass industrial belt.
Yeah,
I mean it was
you
common.
You could beat your kid's ass in front of a police station and nothing would happen.
And that's it was brought up. The fact that it was in the 70s,
I was getting my ass whipped with the thinnest, longest fucking switch you could find, just so it snap and leave welts and blood.
That cracking sound. Oh god, my cheeks clench every time I hear that. I'm like, yep, yeah, mommy.
Childhood fear boner.
So,
I like how we just said childhood fear boner.
So, the storyline of it, whatever I think. Is there anything you would have done different?
Oh, the storyline wise, for the sake of practicality, there was a lot of shit I would have done differently.
Yeah,
for the sake of the movie and having and for being compelling,
suspenseful. Yes, sir.
I don't think I would change anything about it.
Well,
honestly.
They did a
very good job.
We all have that. We all have those moments when we watch a movie and it's like, look, dumbass, if you just do it like this,
like,
it'll get done
like,
faster. Oh wait, we're watching
like,
the movie.
Instead of trying to be quiet and all slow and everything, trying to remember the combination for that door, how about just walk out the unlocked fucking side door?
Like, you know he's asleep. Why don't you
what
just
if that
a
was keyed? What if
neck?
That was keyed on both sides and it wasn't emphasized though?
Yeah, but it was also you know, when he walked out of the fucking kitchen, there was a light on a phone. Like,
yeah, he just
there's a phone right fucking there.
I mean, all he had to do is just like dial 911 and then just whisper help, and then just like
then put the receiver down.
Yeah, that's all.
Like,
they
don't have to hang up.
To
just put it down gently and go back and wait. Like that's
like,
all you
like
had
I
to
know
do.
During the 70s, they had caller tracking.
Well, that's because they still ran off switchboard.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Excuse me. Let me patch you through Missouri. Sorry, your call from Cincinnati.
This is Canada.
No, but what they
Hello?
Would do is
did you dial 7? No, I dialed 3. Oh, this is 7.
No, it's no. What they would do is that they would they would trace the phone number down, and then they trace where that phone number, what house that belongs to, and they'd find you that way, because everything was landlined. That's exactly how they would have found him. That's all he would have had to have done, and he would have gotten out of it scot-free.
I mean, really, though, the cops did find that house pretty early on. They just didn't fucking know it.
Right. When they went and interviewed the cokehead roommate, like, they were there.
That was his brother.
That was his brother.
Yeah, Max was his
brother. I didn't make the connection.
Well, see, that's why whenever the grabber killed him, he goes, he was a dumbass, but he was my dumbass.
Yeah.
That was his brother.
See, at first, I thought it was a roommate. And then when he said that, I was like, oh, they were lovers. But now...
No, that was his brother.
Now, yeah.
You thought the cocaine guy and the killer were lovers?
Well, when he said, but he was my
dumbass.
Yeah,
he was pretty... he was pretty flamboyant throughout the entire...
I'm going to have to watch it again and see if I noticed them keys.
Aside
from the ones he's putting in his nose.
Yeah. Like, cocaine. We get it, the 70s!
He's up on the tracksuit, damn.
Let me guess. The 70s?
The acid stonewashed Levi's.
The absence
chest.
Of color and all the earth tones give it away that it was the fucking 70s, all right? We get it.
Never heard of OxyClean to bring out those vibrant colors.
So Ethan Hawke as a villain, do you think he'll hit like horror icon status.
I think he should hit horror icon status on it because
he's on the track for it.
Right.
The way he delivered everything. Yeah. Like he didn't pose himself as supernatural. Just that I'm stronger than you.
So, yeah, very dominating. Yeah.
But yet still very soft and gentle. At the same time, that's
where that psycho, like that's why you can tell he's psycho for that reason, is because he'd come down and be all feminine and be like, oh, my dear.
Like
and then when he throws the food, he's like, well, I was going to fucking let you go. And he was all pissy. And then he gets fucking, I will gut you in the middle of the fucking, and I'm like, oh, he has multiple layers. Okay.
Yeah, multiple personality.
Yeah, he's an onion. Yeah. This is actually about Shrek. That's it. Headcanon. Black phone. Shrek.
All right. So, spoiler. This whole time we've been talking about Shrek, not the black phone.
You have not watched it yet, apparently.
Shrek is love. Shrek is life. But, no, it... To me, a score out of 10 on my scaling, I'd give it a solid 8. Couple things I've wanted to see different. I wish they hadn't killed Robin so soon. Like, I understand, like, the second act is the main part is Finney, you know, being caught and put in the basement and whatnot, and it's his struggle to get out.
Yeah.
I get that, and I get that every little hint led to the ultimate goal of killing the grabber that way. That's way more suspenseful, and I get that.
They should have shown the relationship between Finney and Robin more.
I wish they would have shown, like, the grabber trying to dominate Pinball Vance.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was this, like, you know, mega badass, and the only person that could challenge him was Robin. And then the grabber gets Robin as well, and I'm like, and Robin was a fucking badass. And I'm like, you know, kids like that, they fight back, and they fight back fucking dirty. How'd they not leave marks, but Finney did?
Right.
You know, I'm like, there's, like, I'd like to see, like, I would have liked to see Robin last a little longer. Like, they got him really soon.
They didn't give him a fair enough chance.
No, and he was the best. Robin was the best character in that fucking movie.
Like, I was hoping to see a little bit of why Robin was a badass.
Well, see, it's like, Robin wasn't stupid. And that's what, they didn't play him as, like, the dumb big friend, oh, we're going to be friends because you do my homework thing.
The dumb muscle.
Yeah, no, he wasn't the dumb, he explained it in that bathroom where he's like, look, that she goes too fast, she doesn't explain it as good as you do. It's not that he's that, like, bullying or using Finney's, you know, brains for protection or anything like that. It's nothing like that. It's a genuine friendship.
It's literally a friendship that started from a quid pro quo.
Yeah, it's a genuine friendship.
He even says in the bathroom, pretty much, you keep helping me with my homework, I'll keep bullies off your back.
No, it wasn't that. It was more or less...
Well, he said it in a different way, yeah, but that was more or less the idea.
It's this. When he said... Usually it's like, hey, help me with my homework. It wasn't like, oh, well, Finney's just going to do this homework for him. No, it was, hey...
Teach him.
Teach me how to do my homework. So they've spent long days and nights getting to know each other and becoming and blossoming that friendship, and it actually does show. Mm-hmm. You know, and the fact that everybody's so tense and nervous around Robin, yet Finney's not. So that means that he's very used to him, that there is a big friendship status right there. So it's deeper than just saying, hey... I big dumb tough guy, you nerd, you do homework for me. It's not like that. Like, Finney was, you know, a fucking baseball player and had a, you know, his arm was mint and all that. So it's not like he was a nerd or anything like that. Like, it was just, he was a smaller statured kid. There was nothing else to that. They were friends just because they were friends. I loved that aspect of it. But I have some bitches.
Of course.
Yeah, that's why it's an 8 out of 10. There's not very...
So you have two bitches.
Yeah, I have some bitches here. Finney was the dumbest survival character I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, he left you with a toilet and a working outlet. I would have set that bitch on fire. I would have been like, we both dying, bitch. Like, one of us is getting out of here alive, and it ain't going to be you. Like, I guess I'm a little bit more of, like, I was more of a fucked up kid at that age. Because I'm like, oh, look, I got some wire. There's a working outlet. this is carpet's made from the 70s, and if it's rolled up down here, it's made from the early 70s, maybe late 60s. That bitch is flammable. Very flammable.
Shag, baby.
And I am just going to light this motherfucker on fire. At the very least, if I would have made it to where, like, oh, there's an access panel getting to the freezer, I would have lit a fire in the freezer. Because there's Freon in there, and that bitch would have gone boom, and I'd have been free.
Honestly, you wouldn't even have to get a spark on that carpet to start a fire. You could just, like, rub your hands together on it real fast.
Well, there was also light bulbs in there, too.
Yeah.
It's like, there was so much to use.
Hold the light bulb with your shoes, and then just shove the socket of the light bulb into the outlet socket.
Pretty much.
And then hold the blanket under the blanket. The carpet
or just break the glass around the bulb and just stand the fucking carpet up there and make it catch a flame. And once it catches a flame, stick that flaming end inside of the freezer and get on the other side of that fucking room as fast as you can. Because the second it touches that Freon pump, it's going to go kaboom and it's going to blow that wall out.
Yeah.
But then he's going to have freedom.
Freedom.
And you know what? An explosion like that is...
It's this.
The grabber isn't going to run down the stairs and check on Finney on an explosion like that. He's not going to know what to fucking think. Because he just heard an explosion. He felt it. He's like, where the fuck did that come from? He's going to go look for the explosion. So Finney runs the fuck out. By the time the grabber finds the explosion and finds out that Finney's escaped, Finney's gone. He done left. He done said, deuces, bitch. Yeah, these are the things I think of. I'm like, huh, I would have blown that motherfucker up. Just running out. Anarchy! Anarchy! I don't know what it means, but I love it.
What
about you, Josh? On a scale of 1 to 10, 6 being the highest.
He's 6 being high.
What?
No, my dad always said that shit to me. Let's go 1-10, 6 being the highest.
I was going to say probably about a 7, I guess. I mean,
I can see that, yeah.
Like I said, it goes back to what I said earlier. It's a very new concept of movie. So I wasn't really knowing what to expect when I watched it. That and the supernatural stuff, like with the dead children's on the phone. You could see the dead children's, but he couldn't. I guess that wasn't enough supernatural for me. I could have used just a tad bit more.
Yeah.
But, not a lot more.
Maybe like feeling like maybe Robin coming up and putting his arm around Finn one last time and Finn actually feels it and like maybe grabs a hand or something. Like something like
Robin comes back and helps Finn.
Like, I like that, you know, the phone rang when it was disconnected and packed full of dirt, and
yeah.
He said it was for you, and then, you know, all the dead kids got to say their last words to him. Like, I liked that concept. Yeah. But here's another interesting one for you, and this is a theory. Well, excuse me, before we get to the theory, what about you on a scale of 1 to 10?
I mean, I agree with both of you. I'll go ahead and split it at 7.5.
7.5, yep.
Yeah. I mean, I
definitely like, not the
like,
best.
Like what both of you are saying, it's a good movie to sit down and watch, but I'm not going to put it in like a top list.
Yeah, right? it's a breath of fresh air. That's why I like the movie so much.
Like Josh said, a very new concept.
But so here's an interesting like theory just to think about. When Finn was asking the dead boys, did you guys hear the phone? They all said no. They said, but the grabber can hear it, and so can you, Finney. That's the 70s in a very small town community. Finn's mom is dead, and his dad highly resents him up until he was lost. What if the grabber was his biological father?
That'd be weird.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, it would make a little bit of sense. That's why they can both see the phone. That explains why, like, the grabber got so attached to him.
Yeah.
Like, maybe overly
explains
attached.
Explains why all the other kids are dead and he wasn't.
Like, it apparently, like, looking at timeline-wise, the other kids died, like, within, like, a day or so of being caught.
Yeah.
And Finney survived like 3 or 4 days. So like maybe he knew that that was his son after looking at him. Or like had that and that maybe that's why he was, you know, saying I was going to let you go because he was feeling some sort of remorse for potentially his son.
Yeah, I can see.
I mean, it could be like it's a theory. It's more than likely not true. It's probably not true, but it's interesting to think about
it's a very plausible theory, though, that you could see like being put into production, though. You know, like one of those like of course kind of things.
Like that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Like and maybe
like that, like that, or like oh, I know that I knew that was going to happen.
Well, like think about it this way. Think about like how Finn's dad was coddling his sister afterwards. And, you know, only abused her, and he barely gave Finn the time of day. He just kind of went meh. And like, he cared more about his daughter than he did about his son. And, like, even sitting down as far as going and saying, your mom had the gift, too, of, you know, of being able to see and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, the dreams.
Yeah, the dreams and whatnot. So maybe that's why he has such a deeper connection with his daughter than he did his son. Because he knew deep down that his son was not his kid. Like even if you look at like even if you look at him and put all three like the father, Ethan Hawke, and the kid all in a line, he looks more like Ethan Hawke.
Yeah.
So like I think that'd be interesting to see on. Like I think it would push too far though, in my opinion. Because then you're doing this like family fucking pattern and all this other shit, and then it kind of gets into like true crime.
That just opens the door to so many different sequels and prequels.
Yeah.
That makes it less original.
Yeah.
It just turned it into.
Then that's like an M. Night Shyamalan twist, you know?
Almost, yeah.
Like that would be the, you know, twist that M. Night Shyamalan would have done. What the twist? So that's just a theory of mine, like why they were so connected.
Definitely plausible, though.
I did laugh during this movie because that little girl fucking sold it for me.
Yes.
Like, I like her fucking potty mouth. Like, even though she was sometimes a little over the top.
She's a fucking scrapper, though.
Yeah, when she looked at the cops like, you dumb fucking fart knockers, I was like, you didn't need to be that hostile to him. Like, what the fuck?
Yes, she did.
Like, but then she fucking cracked that bully with a rock.
A fucking rock.
Called him a cocksucker. I was like, wow.
Not just like a rock.
I was like, you a thug.
Not just like a rock, though. She searched and made sure she found a big enough fucking rock and just bam.
Bludgeoned
right,
him.
Right in the fucking temple.
That kid sat down, all the blood pouring from his head and shit. I'm like, damn, you got fucked up. And then her getting kicked in the mouth. I'm like, ooh, you got fucked up too. But the funny part about it for me was not only when she was running around like, you fucking cocksucking cowards. Plack! I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, I talk about the
Jesus,
she was
what
praying.
The fuck?
Yeah. Jesus, what the fuck, Jesus?
What the fuck, Jesus?
I did all this stuff, and you haven't given me a single dream.
Like, she was pissed off, man.
It's like, you know what? Maybe you're not real.
Okay, so, like, in comparison of, like, little girl horror movie actors, like, have you guys seen Psycho Goreman on Shudder?
I have not.
I've been bouncing back and forth.
I'll be honest.
I've been bouncing back and forth.
The little girl actor in that movie is overly fucking annoying with like kitty cussing like I'm the heckin' best and like it was like oh my god
so was it like Dakota Fanning with her screaming when she was
no it was
little?
It's way worse. It is way way worse. But this
have you seen World of War of Worlds
yeah
though?
It's worse than that.
Really?
It's much worse than that.
That is horrible.
Yeah, it is terrible. And like it's got good gore and whatnot, but it's,
well, I hope with a name like Psycho Goreman.
Yeah, Psycho Goreman. But I just didn't dig the movie. But I'm comparing those two, like the differences is that one little girl was empowered and the boss of everything, whereas Finney's sister was just strong because she had to be strong. Right. Like that true strength behind her.
Right.
Like that she's going to find him. She's going to find Fenny alive. And she protected her big brother more than her big brother protected her.
It's a strength that's not out of ego.
Yeah. Right. So it's, you know, that performance was beautiful, in my opinion, especially for such a young actress.
She did do a very good job. Like, she...
could...
She was... She
like
was
I said, dumbed down on the language a little bit, and then it would have been even better. Because, in my opinion, she...
bring the language down to her age level?
Yeah, she cussed too much.
Well, I mean,
look
if
at
you
the
think
lifestyle
about,
she lived.
Yeah, I mean, look at the lifestyle.
Yeah, but cussing at the cops like that, like back then, that was it. Wasn't that it wasn't unheard of, but from a fucking kid,
I'd say it was probably pretty common.
Yeah.
Well,
but
you know,
she went straight from "fuck you, you fucking fart knockers" to "my dreams come true." I'm like, where the fuck did that? That was a bipolar ass moment. You went there like you're getting ready to knuck up with the cops, and you're like, "Oh no, police officer, help me!" It's like, what the fuck? That was like, aside from those few little gripes, though, it's not a bad movie overall. Definitely worth going seeing. Now, this is the question. Every time we do a movie dive like this, I'm going to ask this question. I want an honest answer. Is it a? It's a movie worth seeing. Is it a movie worth paying for? Like, would you go to the theaters to watch this movie? Or would you pay to, like, would you, like, rent it off Amazon?
I wouldn't go to the theater, but I might rent it off of Amazon.
Something like $3.99 for 24 hours kind of thing?
Yeah. I don't mind paying the $5.
I guess, no.
Yeah, no.
Like,
no.
I didn't go out of my way to watch it. We watched it on your Peacock. So, I mean, if it's part of something I'm paying for, then I guess I'd watch it. But, like, I don't know if I'd go out of my way to see it. I mean, it's not that it wasn't done well.
It just wasn't
my thing, I guess. It wasn't my cup of tea, what I'd be into.
I wouldn't pay for it because it's a good movie. Yes, it's a breath of fresh air. But it's not a movie worthy of me thinking to myself, okay, I watched this movie once, and I want to watch it again.
But you've seen it like 5 times.
Yeah. I've seen it. Well, I was also preparing for this podcast, too.
Oh,
so, mind you, I've seen it 5 times, but realistically...
I've only seen it the once.
Yeah, I've only really actually, like, enjoyed it once, as I could say, because
yeah.
the other times I'm sitting there watching it, I'm like, even with you guys, I'm like, chicken wings.
Well,
don't eat chicken wings when you're trying to intently watch a movie.
Yeah, but in all reality, though, like I would, if the only way for me to watch it was to like go to the theaters or rent it. I'd wait a couple years and wait for it to be on like Netflix or another streaming service.
Oh yeah.
And then just watch it on there.
Or just wait till it pops up in like the $3 movie bin.
Yeah, something like, yeah. Like I get, you know, I kind of walk past it in Dollar General, you know.
Damn. It doesn't even have the case, it's in that yellow sleeve.
But that's just realistically, and I'm not saying don't, you know, pay for your favorite movies or whatever like that. But what I'm saying is that if you can find it, like it's on Peacock, obviously. Like if you have Peacock, definitely watch it. If not, borrow a friend's is what I'm suggesting and watch it on there.
That's what y'all did.
That's what y'all did. Hey, that was my Peacock.
That was my Peacock he was looking at.
Episode number 7, 14th dick joke. And about that movie, do you think that the grabber molested those boys?
I don't think that molestation was his bag, man. I think that he was more of a, I don't know, psychological torture.
Yeah, I was thinking instead of more of the...
He has a control issue.
Yeah, instead of the physical love, he was, love. Instead of the physical aspect, like Josh said, more mental or the emotional aspect.
Yeah. So, like, I don't think he molested those boys because it was brought up when Finney's like, I'll scratch your face. People are going to ask questions. And he just, this face?
Yeah.
For one, beautifully shot. Like, that was a beautiful scene. Ethan Hawke, in my opinion, did a great job portraying him.
And it also worked out when he was delivering that line. He had the fucking, like, the smiley.
Yeah.
Big toothy smile. Mask.
And all right, we got to talk about that fucking mask, though.
I fucking loved it. It reminded me of a mixture of Mick Thompson and Jim Root.
Well, I'll tell you,
didn't it?
I'll tell you exactly what this mask reminded you of right after this commercial break.
Hey, this is DJ, the host of The Slab.
And this is Chris. I'm the co-host of The Slab.
And do you see a tattoo in your future?
I know I do.
Then we definitely need to go to Tarot Tattoo, located right here in Richmond, Indiana. 711 South 9th Street, to be exact. Area code 47374. We'd like to start off by saying that we are in no way, shape, or sponsored by Tarot Tattoo.
Yeah, we are not getting any money from them at all for doing this.
This is a female-ran business, and these women are just an absolute delight to be around.
Oh, definitely.
They're funny. They're in your face. They're very forward-thinking. They're very accepting of absolutely everybody. So this is the place to go, especially just for the good vibes. Decent prices. You can definitely check out their link to their Facebook and to their website in the description of this podcast going forward.
Bobby, who is here with us a lot, actually just recently got a tattoo from there from one of the artists, and it is fucking amazing.
It absolutely looks great.
The line work is some of the cleanest line work I've seen in a while around here.
So remember, that's Tarot Tattoo in Richmond, Indiana, 47374, 711 South 9th Street. Remember to turn on G and park in the back.
And we're back. Fucking Chris talked the same time I did. Anyways, but yes, that fucking mask. I'll tell you exactly what that mask reminds you of. Have you guys, like, ever seen, like, Lon Chaney's character, London After Midnight? Almost like a Jekyll and Hyde style, like...
Yes.
That's what he reminds me of, is Lon Chaney's London After Midnight character. And, like,
okay.
Even...
Okay, yeah.
And that's what I was thinking. Is like, man, that's kind of a comical mask. And then I started reading up on it. I was like, oh, yeah, that does make sense. And like looking at it from that light, you know, it's like a more cynical twist on something that's old. And I love that.
Yeah. I just thought of my first impression of Slipknot.
He's the what, 15th, 20th member?
Something like that.
I don't know. There's a whole Slipknot lore that I didn't pay attention to. It was just play music. And Corey Taylor, don't get your neck, you know, any bigger.
If that's even possible.
You're gonna lose your ears.
If that's even his neck. He's gonna come kill us now.
Or he might laugh. He might be that dude. We ain't Machine Gun Kelly. Oh, by the way, Machine Gun Kelly, fuck you! Anyways.
Man.
Oh, I don't give a fuck. What's he going to do? Make a rap diss about me? I'll send Pappy Eminem back on him.
I'll make a rap diss. You know what? I'll make a rap diss about myself before he makes one about me.
Exactly. Like, you can't hate me more than me, motherfucker. Go ahead. Call me fat with a little dick. I'm called the Thunder Thimble for a reason, bitch.
Feel that.
I'm 6'4". Yeah, you're also built like a microphone stand, you scrawny little twerp.
Twerp.
You do be skinny, though.
Motherfucker be hiding behind a telephone pole and shit. You look like the more rapey Slender Man. That's what you look like.
He reminds me of the Kate Moss joke from Family Guy. Where she's in the restaurant, she's like, oh, there's a crack, and then just
Whew.
Falls to the fucking crack of the floor. Oh, somebody left open a window. Just blows away.
But anyways, back to the black phone. That mask, though, that two-piece mask. Oh, I want that. Like, I do, like, that.
I wonder if there's anywhere you can.
Oh, yeah, there's. I can almost guarantee there's people that's already done 3D prints and shit of it.
I'm looking it up right now.
There, that speaks a lot, the fact that the mask is, like, a two-piece mask.
Yeah.
It speaks a lot to his personality breaks, where he could feel and act one way with just the bottom mouthpiece on.
Yeah.
And then he could feel and act another way with the eyes and horns on.
Well, like, when it's just the mouthpiece on, he has those very expressional eyes. Then you can tell that that's the more, like, sensual feeling of him.
So,
right.
I found it. And on Etsy, just for one version, but full mask, like, full face, you're looking at $216 for the three different movable bottom pieces and the one solid top piece. On eBay, you're looking at about $350.
I'm never going to be rich.
But I'm
going to own so much random shit like that. Like, oh, yeah, I want that. Bye! Like, you have a wall of fucking Slaughter to Prevail masks. Yes.
I'm seeing a bunch of real shitty looking ones for like $30.
Nah, fam. I'll buy a good one. But
here's a 3D print file on Etsy for $18. And it has all three variations.
Nah, I'm good. But anyways, like that mask, I can see that going down as, like, a very icon in horror, or even in suspense thrillers.
Yeah.
And that's something that we desperately needed as well. Now, I know we're probably grasping on to the fact that it's been so long since we've seen something like this.
Honestly.
And it'd be genuine. Yeah. So it seems really good to us. But there again, if honestly, you're starving, a cheeseburger, a slimy-ass cheeseburger is going to seem really good to you.
Honestly, a banquet meal's gonna seem good to you. I think over time, if the movie gains traction good enough that it'll turn into one of those just a shape alone.
Yeah.
You'll know what the movie is just by the shape of the mask.
Yeah, like did the grabber actually die? Or, you know, it's all this other shit. Like, I really want to see what they do with it, if they're going to do anything. If they leave it alone, I'll be happy. But if they do something with it, it's got to be better than the original.
If they do something else with it, I would definitely pursue it just to see what they do.
Yeah.
Right.
It's worth looking into, absolutely. Maybe Kane Hodder can wear the mask. Be a lot more violent. Oh, and some little scrawny, you know, 13-year-old isn't going to choke his ass out with that big-ass neck.
What, fast forward to like 20 years later where the grabber had that much time to grow
and bulk up
exponentially?
He's bulking up.
Fanny's got a fist fight in this fucking mongoloid now. It's like, ah, fuck.
He's still only like maybe 5'7", 120 pounds.
Well, maybe it's something like another interesting aspect I think that they could go forward in is like make it like the boogeyman, like how they did with Candyman. Like every like different city or state has its own version of the grabber.
Okay.
So like.
Okay.
Like they use the same like mask premise and everything. But it's in, like, oh, this one's in, you know, Des Moines, Iowa. And this is how this guy did it. And, like, this one's in, you know, Columbus, Ohio. And that's how this guy did it. This one's in Florida. And, you know, like each, like, grab, like, it tells a tale of kidnapping, like, based on each case study.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's like the boogeyman. It's like an urban legend.
Uh-huh.
Because they did treat it like an urban legend. Like, you can't say his name three times or he'll come and get you. That's another thing that I found kind of interesting was that they threw in that, you know, early's before the digital era urban legend kind of, like, you know, shit like that.
Right.
Which was it was very interesting to me. I was like, okay, maybe they can capitalize on that, like, one little quip. Or
how did you feel about the thing with the balloons?
They, man, I don't know.
Did you think they only did it because it popularized it?
Well, I think they did it because it needed to have a plot narrative, like the black, like that was the connection between the police and Finn's sister.
The black balloons.
Was the black balloons, because she saw the black balloons in her sleep, yet the police never revealed that. But I'm like, but they're fucking black balloons. Like, everybody's right. Gonna see them.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, but I understand they use that as a plot point to just kind of connect those two together. Lazy, but effective.
Yeah, it's... definitely lazy.
But it was rather effective. It's, like I said, it's not a bad movie.
I guess it's a good, like, symbol.
Yeah.
Of the movie.
Like, you know, it's better than average. It's a good movie to sit down and watch, especially if it's people that's never seen it before. So, I mean, but there are going to be some contextual errors and timing errors and shit that... That will kind of like go, okay, they could have done better with that. What I'm saying is it is a very solid step forward. Finally.
What's
I don't know about y'all, but like, what is the latest like horror movie y'all have seen that was actually good? Like a truly good one. In the last 10 years.
Uh-huh. Most recently,
Would Alien or any of the Predators be considered horror?
Action horror adjacent, yes. But that's, like, I'm talking truly horror. Like, Alien and Predators, well, that's a completely different genre in itself, and I'd love to talk about that sometime soon, because I fucking love the Predator. So, I'm a dick rider, leave me alone.
So, The Cursed, I don't know if you've seen that one.
I have not, no.
Okay. Well, it's a werewolf movie, but
sold.
Yeah, it's done a lot differently. Basically, there's a group of gypsies, and they're pretty much crashing on this guy's land. And, you know, the myth, urban legend is gypsy silver is cursed.
Yeah.
So this guy carves this set of teeth out of gypsy silver and puts all kinds of symbols in it. And then the owners of the land kill all these gypsies. Yeah, like really fucked up ways. It's a quite rough, gory movie. It's actually pretty good. But one of the local kids finds the set of teeth, puts it in his mouth, and they possess him, and he bites another kid. The kid becomes a werewolf. That, I guess this the storyline behind it is what I liked on that one so much.
But, so where can we watch this?
On Hulu.
Oh, it's on Hulu? Okay, yes. I have Hulu.
Yes, that's where I've seen it at least. But I know what you're trying to say. I guess as far as that genre goes with the black phone, yes, it was a very fresh idea, and it's been a lot better than most movies to come out. Some movies just worry too much on the shock factor and how much like shock they can put into the crowd, and they don't worry about building storyline or characters.
Like, you know, the only ones I can even think of that, like, come close to being, like, that level of, like artistic, like, cinematography behind it, and that care of writing has to be, like, Hereditary, maybe The Babadook.
Yeah, I love The Babadook.
Babadook's a great movie, but it's also, like, it also kind of dives down into like what Josh was saying over here. It's for that style genre, that thriller horror genre, it's more paranormal. We haven't had, everybody's praising The Conjuring, everybody's praising Annabelle, everybody's praising all these cinematic universes,
the
connected
supernatural,
and
like
I'm like
possessions.
I'm sorry, but they did that with flashy cinematography just to, it wasn't good, in my opinion. I didn't like them. Like, I don't like The Conjuring. I didn't like Annabelle and all that because it was too forced. It was way, way, way too, like, oh, Ed and Lorraine Warren. Yeah, look here. And they're like shaking a rattle at you. I feel like they're treating the audience like they're stupid.
Yeah.
Because everything's really on the nose.
They're still trying to treat the whole Ed and Lorraine Warren demon possession thing like it's still brand new.
And real. Because even they admitted that it was a hoax.
Yeah.
I was like, ho! Getting a little tense in here. But no, it's a step in the right direction. Hopefully like something like this, more will blossom out of it. Like, hopefully we're going to get more actual scares. Other than just blood and gore and just this animalistic shit.
Honestly, the psychological scares are a lot more freakier than,
well,
like, the blood and the gore. Well, at least in my opinion.
The blood and the gore, don't get me wrong, I love a good gore fest. I do.
Oh, hell yeah.
I love seeing death scenes. I really do. But at the same time, you watch a horror movie to be scared.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'm sorry, the last horror movie, the most recent one that scared me was The Babadook. The Black Phone unsettled me, but I've been unsettled by other movies before. But it's a good step forward. I always watch, like, these horror movies like that and see what triggered reaction my body does. Like, Sinister,
right.
Hated the movies. I hate jump scares. Not because they get me. It's because it's like, oh, jump scare. Boom, scary face. Yep. There it is.
Like I still get got by jump scares. But I know when one's going to happen.
Like,
I just don't know, like, down to the exact, like, second it's going to happen.
Yeah, like movies like The Babadook and Hereditary, where the jump scares are, like,
they're just kind of, like, not there.
No, they're there. They're just slow. It's not so fast. Like, you look up and you see her, you see the mother in Hereditary sawing her own head off with piano wire.
Yeah.
It's like, that is a little fucked up to see. I'm like, ooh, that's fucked up. Like, or the Babadook and the mother going entirely insane throughout the entire movie. Like,
watching her snap the dog's neck.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is getting a little fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
The movie before that, though, was Grave Encounters, you know, found footage movie. That movie scared the shit out of me when I first watched it.
What was that one movie we watched over here? The Taking of Deborah Logan.
Yeah, The Taking of Deborah Logan.
That one was real good.
Yeah. Like, that one was really good, too, but, like, that's a movie that you can never let Bobby watch.
Why?
Yeah.
That lady turning into a snake head and trying to eat that little girl.
That was awesome,
though. That was. Like, I thought that was fucking cool.
I was like, it's a snake demon lady.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's a snake granny.
Does Bobby have a legit fear of being swallowed by a snake?
No. His fear of snakes.
His fear of snakes, dude. He can't
even. Oh, your fear of snakes.
No.
Yeah, but Bobby's is
like 20 times worse.
I am tepid compared to Bobby's
fear of snakes. Yeah. You're fucking Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm not afraid of snakes whatsoever. Y'all have seen me feed my snake and shit, and strike at my face. I'm like, would you stop that, sir?
Yeah. Give him the boops.
Yeah, but then giving him nose boops and him still loving me after striking at me, the little bipolar bastard. I miss him. But
his name was Snake.
His name was Snake in Japanese. It was Hebe. But it's Bobby's fear of snakes. Like, I once watched him run from the front of my parents' house to the bait shop door. And I mean run. I've never seen Bobby run. This motherfucker sprinted like his name was Usain Bolt. He was just gone. And he was going, ah! I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, what's wrong? I thought, like, he saw something fucked up or, like, he forgot something. No. He gets up to my front door, and I'm like, dude, what's going on? He just goes, snuh, 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 snuh. I was like, oh, snake, gotcha. And I went down there, and it was a dead rat snake in the middle of the road. It was what scared him. He wasn't even, like, he had to stay, like, an extra 2 hours and calm the fuck down enough to drive around the snake. Like, he wouldn't even get near the motherfucker. He is that terrified.
I've watched him get a panic attack because at a New Year's party, because during the newscast, the newscast lady had a python around her neck.
Yeah.
And Bobby saw that, and I watched him saw that, instantly turned his head and started going into a panic attack.
Yeah, Bobby is like hyper terrified of him.
Huh.
Just like how I'm hyper terrified of needles.
That's crazy.
Like, you get a syringe near me, I'll pass out. I can't even see him on TV. I have to turn my head every single fucking time. I cannot handle it.
Oh, I got a story to tell you about needles and our buddy Joey.
No, if it's the one about the haunt.
No.
I was about to say, because no, I'm telling that story because I was there.
No, it's a different
and I
one.
Set it up.
It's a different one. This one I was there for.
So overall, how do we feel about the black phone?
Overall, I like it.
I
love it? No.
I would watch
but
it.
But I like it.
I would watch it in like if we did a big like movie marathon.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that'd be a good one.
Yeah, it would be a good one to watch in like a 24-hour horror movie marathon kind of thing.
But I don't.
That actually doesn't sound like a bad idea, and I'm getting ready to go on vacation next week. Like y'all don't even tempt me. I'll spend an entire 24 hours locked in this room watching horror movies, eating junk food.
I'm down.
Like I will fucking do it. And just every horror, like every shitty or not shitty horror movie I can find.
We need to average out, like, the 2 hours. So we need to average out about 12 movies.
Yeah, it's back to back to back to back.
Each three.
Yeah.
Us three just pick about 4.
Yeah?
Yeah, us three pick four movies.
Well, if we're going to, like, lock ourselves somewhere for 24 hours and watch horror movies, like, straight up, nothing against my studio, but I wouldn't do it in here. To be honest with you, not a lot of comfortable seating for that longevity.
Living room.
Yeah, that'd be like a living room or like a specific space, like going up to the studio and doing it up there.
Oh yeah.
Probably wouldn't be a bad idea, even though there's no internet. But we could each bring like a DVD.
I mean, hey, $5 been at Walmart, it's got some good shit.
Sometimes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Motherfucker, yeah, how many horror movies? I could supply this entire night, okay? Just go through my library of movies.
By the way, I still have your Evil Dead.
I know. I know. You're not going to hurt it, so it's fine.
Okay. So, yeah, Black Phone. Off topic.
No, actually, it wasn't off topic because even talking about doing a horror movie night like that, the black phone started that idea.
Yeah.
Because once you said, like, yeah, I'd watch that in a movie marathon. So, yeah, it's definitely on a watch list. I like it, but I don't love it. That's my opinion about it. I like it, but I don't love it. I love certain things about it, but there's also all those issues that I have with it, like how dumb the characters, forced dialogue, that kind of dissells it for me. I'm like, they could have made him
on the 70s.
Yeah. We know.
We saw the striped shirts.
The fucking wingtip pants. We know. But other than that, like, I like the movie. I did. What about you, Josh?
I liked it. It was good.
Yeah. Chris.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it was a decent movie. It's a good middle ground.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, my suggestion is...
I think they did that on purpose.
Yeah, it was like, it was good. I'll watch it again. Won't buy it on DVD, but I'll watch it again. I'll watch it if a friend's showing it. Or if it's at a drive-in or something. It's a free movie on an airplane, then, I mean,
it's like what Bobby always says. Won't seek it out, but if a homie's got it on, I'll watch it.
Oh, yeah. So the black phone, definitely worth going to see. Definitely worth seeing. Not worth paying, but definitely worth seeing. Yeah, other than that, we can go ahead and end this. We're at an hour. So, Black Phone, seven, you know, average score is about a 7.5 out of 10.
I win!
No, definitely a 7.5 out of 10, and it's good to watch. It's good to sit down, actually, but that child beating scene, there is a trigger warning for it. It's not that it's overly, like, overly violent. It's the fact that how fast, and there's no warning how it happened.
A member of our cast actually had to step away from that scene.
And the member of that cast that stepped away just told you he stepped away without telling you he stepped away. Yes. I have fooled you! Anyways, I'm out of here. I'm DJ.
I'm Chris.
I'm Josh. Bye.